We're going to have a singing this afternoon. I was interested in Richard's early remarks. This land is my land, this land is your land. You know that song, don't you? You realize the power of music? With all of the idiocy in the political realm right now, we still have a great country. And we have been incredibly blessed. And our music reminds us of that. I'm from a generation that had trouble with the status quo. And it was our music that kept us going. It was our music that enabled us to encourage one another not to get swept up in the materialism and the idiocy that was part of the secular world. And music is so important to us as Christians that it's one of those salvation issues that we have talked about. If you haven't been with us in our classes, we spent the earlier part of this quarter looking at those things that are salvation issues and those things that are ways of doing what we think we ought to do. Implementation issues, we called them. And saying it's a salvation issue, you may never have thought of it that way, but my brothers and sisters, that is scriptural. And how we sing and what we do is important. This afternoon is a time of fellowship. It's a time of unity. It's a time of praise. It's a time of encouragement. It was interesting to me that in discussing this with some of the people that I sent letters to, I sent letters to 32 congregations in the area. I had a couple of responses. And one of the interesting responses, to me at least, was, well, we love music here. I said, do you know what music is? See, Webster says music, and I'm going to quote this now, music is an art of sound in time that expresses ideas and emotions in significant forms through the elements of rhythm, melody, harmony, and color. So Taylor Swift gives us music. Bill Gaither gives us music. But the definition of singing, and listen to this, this is Webster speaking here. The use of the human voice to provide a succession of notes to produce a desired effect. You hear the difference? Music and art of sound, singing the use of the human voice to produce a desired effect. Now, both of those things can only be done by humans. Animals make sounds, but they don't really make music, and they don't sing. Those sounds and those songs are for communication purposes, they're for survival purposes. That gorgeous cardinal that stands on the tree and sings his heart out, that's not really what's going on. What he's doing is he's saying, hey, any male cardinal comes in my region, I'm going to peck your eyes out. See, it's a warning. It's territorial. It's a survival issue. Do whales sing? No. That's what you'll hear if you watch National Geographic specials like I do. But what they're really doing is sending messages to each other, communication. Telling them where the food is. Warning each other about mates. Music can have a desired effect on us. When Richard was singing, "This land is my land, this land is your land," it touched me a little bit. I thought, yeah, I need to be reminded of that. And that's biblical. In 1 Samuel 16, we read an interesting passage about Saul. Listen to this. "Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit allowed by God tormented him." You ever have something in your life that tormented you? Upset you? Saul's attendant said to him, "Let us search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when an evil spirit comes upon you, and you will feel better." Verse 23. Whenever an evil spirit came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul and he would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. You know, there's sometimes when things happen bad in your life and you can maybe find some relief by singing or by hearing someone else sing. Music provides a way of expressing joy and love and patriotism and pain and grief and on and on. The harp was invented by Jobal in Genesis 4 and verse 21. In Daniel 3, beginning with verse 5, there's a mention of numerous instruments that were used. Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 8 talks about all the things he acquired, including men and women singers. And in Nehemiah, Israelite worship involves singing and playing instruments. Nehemiah 11, verses 22-23 and 27-28. Here's what Nehemiah said. "At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving, with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. And the singers were also brought together from the region around Jerusalem." In 2 Chronicles 5, beginning with verse 12, it mentions 120 trumpets were used. Can you imagine hearing 120 trumpets playing together? See, all of this enabled people to be reminded in the Old Testament. Solomon wanted to have the best sound effects possible. People were called to things like, "This land is your land, this land is my land." But then Christianity came, and a whole new concept of worship was done. You understand that? Worship in the Old Testament was different than worship in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the worship concept was personal. It was involvement of everybody. It was not show and entertain. Now, I want to emphasize here that there's nothing wrong with, in your own privacy of your own home or on television, listening to Bill Gaither's crew or whatever, of listening to music with a rock and roll band or whatever. But It was always interesting to me that we had people that objected one time to kids listening to music that had a spiritual context to it. And I thought, what in the world? What do you want them to do? You want these kids to listen to some sexual music-driven thing? Or do you want them to hear in their recreational music some good stuff about life and God and blessings? I love listening to Gaither. I don't view it as a worship time. And they have some songs that I'm just crazy about. I especially like the one about the good news. Good news coming. Everything's good. I like to hear positive stuff. Too much negative stuff around. But one of the things Jesus rejected was the musical instruments of his day used to make a circus out of serious events. In Matthew 9 and verse 23, Jesus enters a rich man's house. The man's daughter had just died. And everybody in the house was doing what the Jews in that day did. They were playing instruments, the Bible says, and they were wailing and chanting. It was a noisy crowd. And Jesus said, get out of here. Go away. Let's do something spiritual. This girl is not dead, but is going to be alive. And they laughed at him. But what did Jesus do in stressful times? In Mark 14 and verse 26, after the Passover meal, right before the crucifixion, what did they do? They sang a song. They all participated. Christianity is a system that does not involve entertainment and does not involve show, but involves personal involvement. And so in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. It's kind of interesting. I attended a service in a religious organization, and I was sitting with a priest. And somebody got up and sang a song. Carl would have known the song. And I asked the priest, that was in Latin, I didn't understand it. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, I didn't either. They didn't teach that in seminary. It was a beautiful song. The guy had an incredible voice. But that's not what God calls us to. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. The Bible makes that so clear. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms. What's that? That's a song like the psalmist. What does a saying of a psalm have to do? Whatever the psalmist had on his mind. So that means that the psalmist could have any number of purposes in his mind. I was talking to Bill Wednesday night about the singing today, and I said, you know, one of the things we might ought to do is to maybe read a few psalms in the middle instead of just singing one song after another. Because some of those psalms tell us about creation. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. And on and on and on. But there's also psalms that say, Lord, Why have you forsaken us? Why have you not acted? There are psalms that say, my pain is so bad. Lord, help my pain. Those are the psalms. And some of our psalms in our songbook are right out of Psalms. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns. The hymn in the original Greek is a song of praise. It has one purpose, to praise God. So we have psalms where you talk to God about all the things in life, and you have hymns where you stop and you focus and you say, God, you're so magnificent. You're so wonderful. You've done such incredible things. And so we sing hymns. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Spiritual songs. Expressions of spiritual emotions coming from the heart. Not just the lips. Did you hear that one? I can't claim it. I think it's a wonderful comment. Our singing needs to come from our heart, not from our lips. Have you ever worshiped with a congregation that was primarily or had as a major mission outreach the deaf? I was with a congregation in Denver that had reached out to the deaf. They had, I think it was something like 45 deaf people. And they had one person leading the singing to the deaf in sign language. You say, well, that's not singing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's singing. And it's incredible. Spiritual emotions coming from the heart, not just the lips. The dictionary says, generally instructive and motivational in nature. How many of our songs are instructive? There's quite a few, aren't there? How many are motivational? Well, did you catch the songboard? Saying to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hebrews 12, 2 and verse 12, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise to you. Hymns. Praising God. Singing is personal. Singing is to be done by everybody in the worship service. You say, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. You think God cares about that? My wife is tone deaf. I don't think she minds me saying that. I love hearing her sing. Is she on pitch? Not often. Is it coming from her heart? Listen, folks, I know her heart, and it's coming from her heart. Some deaf, that's not an issue. You say, well, I like four-part harmony. I do too. Give me a passage that says you are to sing four-part harmony. Do you know that four-part harmony never was a part of the worship service until long after the last apostle had died? And why was it done? It was done because not everybody could sing the melody itself. And there are times when my voice just won't handle soprano, most of the time. That's where it came from, folks. Four-part harmony came to enable everybody, even those who had to sing it in a lower octave, to sing. Does God care? No, God looks at your heart. He doesn't care whether you're on pitch. He doesn't care whether you're tone deaf. What he cares about is your heart. What we will do this afternoon has multiple purposes. If you enjoy singing, it'll be a fun time. It will be a time of unity. I hope our sister congregations show up. Not because we need a whole bunch of people, but because we need unity. And there are those who have said, well, you guys don't teach what I think you ought to teach about thus and so, so we're not coming. Good. Good. Well, we don't need dissent. This is not a time to argue. This is not a time to debate. This is a time of unity and a fellowship. I hope you'll stick around. As a matter of fact, I think, Julie, we have spaghetti? Julie brought some spaghetti, so you don't even have to leave the building. So you can eat here, have some time together, and then as our visitors trickle in, be able to greet them and to enjoy the unity with them. Please stay. If we run out of spaghetti, we got tons of cookies. You can't start there, though. But this is a good thing. It's a time of unity, of fellowship. And the songs are hard to sing without saying, God, this is so wonderful. This is such a great thing to have you bring us together like this. To get just a little tiny bit of what it's going to be like to be in heaven. When we will sing with the angels. And have the complete unity that God wants us to have with Him. This is a good thing. It's a time for us to engage together in loving and praising and being a part of what God has called us to do. And so let's sing together a closing song, and we will be dismissed after the song.